Devices Radio Network.
Blood, Sweat, and Gear is for informational and educational purposes only. Kids, don't try this at home.
Come on. Sicker than your average. Pop a twist, cabbage on instinct. Niggas don't think shit. Stink pink gators. My Detroit players. Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn. That's dead right. If the head right, Biggie there. And I. Papa been smooth since days of under rules. Never lose. Never choose to.
Bruce. Welcome back to Blood, Sweat, and Gear. I'm Scott McNally. And with me, as always, is Skip Hill. And with me, as always, is S2H. Guys, I think we need like a hot blonde to do our introduction. What do you think?
Oh, I get hot blonde. Lots of things.
I'm more of a brunette guy, but okay.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't matter on the radio anyway, right? She could be a redhead for all that matters, as long as she had a good voice.
So yeah, I've got a there you go. She could be a one. How did I say this? Yeah, there's always a story. I've always got a story. She could be a crippled, retarded, one-legged runner. And I it backfired huge. I think I posted it on my personal Facebook page.
Yeah.
But that's a tangent. We're, 30 seconds into the show, and I'm already prepping my first tangent of the podcast.
So we missed out on the information that Scott had to share last week because he was brutally ill, 102 point something degree temperature at one point, something to do with fixing antennas. Scott, what happened here? You got sick fixing antenna? Who has an antenna anyway nowadays?
Good point.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
You said something about fixing your mother's antennas and getting sick.
Oh, yeah. Well, it wasn't an antenna. It was her cable box. She's all into... I've been watching the Olympics, too, just certain parts I don't watch.
Yeah.
So she's all into figure skating. So she's having one of these, withdrawals because her TV's not working. So I go over there and I fix the box and the TV comes on and it's like a gay Prefla pride parade on there. And I think I got HIV from the TV.
That's okay. That's
I'm being tested right now.
Oh, God. Can that happen, Skip?
I don't know what to counter with that statement. Those bigoted Texans, I don't understand. I watch figure skating, and I don't see that it looks very gay at all. I actually enjoy it, contrary to what I said before you turned on the recording.
Hmm. I figured you would.
So this is.
I have a friend of mine. This guy I know since a little kid, and he's gay, and he's the only gay person I know really that is gay. And he said to me, he goes, they have gayed that thing up so bad, it's almost disgusting. And he's gay.
But if he's gay and he's saying that.
Pretty gay.
He said NBC has gayed that thing up beyond repair.
So there's one gay guy in Texas. I just want to clarify. And you know him.
Guys, yeah, there's a lot of gay girls.
This portion of the show is only going to be aired in Texas, by the way. We can't air this around the rest of the country or the world. This is.
I have no minority friends, so I'm not going to go down that road. I got this friend and that friend. No, I actually do, but
That's when you're saying something racist when you're like, "Hey, I've got black friends."
Exactly. You got to it before I did. Yeah, you know you're a bigot when you say, "No, I've got." I'm not racist. I have a black friend. You have a colored TV? What does that have anything to do with?
I have a black friend. He's this guy I work with. You know?
Skip just dropped the 1970s line there with the colored TV.
I don't even know what that means. I just kept talking. Just kept talking.
That's a 70. You're not old enough for that one. You're still right under the age bracket for that one.
you guys make me feel young.
This dude, I've known him all my life. And like he was married to a woman. And then he figured out that wasn't working, I guess. So,
So is he bisexual or gay? Because the gay community does not deal. I know a lot of gay people. My wife is like a gay magnet. All of her guy friends are gay, or at least that's what she tells me.
Right.
She could be sleeping with 20 guys. Yeah. And I'm not going to question it because they're all gay. It's funny. She comes to a new job and I'll say, what's the staff like? Are they, it's a lot of guys, a lot more guys here than there. And I'm like, let me guess, they're all gay. But here, they're not. They're all straight. Mm. But they're always gay. Or they were in Denver anyway. I don't know. Anyway.
No, it's a he has like a whatever partner guy. Partner we play guy? Golf together sometimes. I mean, he's not. I mean, he's one of the dudes like you would like not know. He's he doesn't project himself.
He's not flamboyantly gay. He's not like parade gay.
Yeah, you would never know.
Okay.
Apparently, he's not figure skating gay.
That is a good point.
Obviously not, because he's like, they have gayed that thing up to beyond repair. He said he couldn't even watch it.
I didn't even know, that the Olympics were happening. I don't know if that makes me un-American.
Anti-American?
Yeah.
Sean White killed. I tell you what, he's 31 years old. So he's been doing this for a very long time. But when he nailed that last run, to see someone who has been in their sport for so long emote like that, it was pretty cool.
I did hear about that guy.
It was pretty badass. And when you see emotion like that from someone who's a veteran at what they do, I think it's pretty compelling. That I thought it was pretty cool.
That's cool.
Well, if you look at the wreck he had in, I think it was October.
Yeah, it was brutal.
He basically busted his whole face off in a wreck in some meet somewhere. He came up the little half pipe thing and did one of his 1040 backsides, and he landed with his face right on the edge of that half pipe.
Wow. Something like what, 20 some stitches? I mean, it was right down the middle of his face, I think.
And he got a haircut.
Well, that matters.
You know what? It's stuff like that, Skip. That's the reason that I don't want to do things like ride motorcycles. Everybody I know falls down, they get hurt. All these extreme sports, people break things. You can't train anymore.
That is a good point, but when I ride, I don't fall down. That's just something, when I get on my bike, I don't even think about it. I'm like, I don't go, ooh, I hope I don't go down. I better wear a lot of gear. I'll see people in Florida down here wearing leather jackets and all these back brace jackets and pants. And I'm thinking, and to each their own, that's cool. If they feel safer that way, I can't even wear gloves. Matter of fact, really? I ride white track. No, I can't. It's uncomfortable to me. Something between my hand and my handlebars or my grips, it's foreign to me. I'm not used to that. Hmm. But I ride white trash. I ride without a fucking shirt, and I always catch shit from people going, man, if you go down, you're going to be screwed. Motherfucker, if anybody goes down, they're going to be screwed.
Right.
What am I going to do? Wear a helmet so that the helmet catches my brains so that I can have a broken neck and be paralyzed and drool all over myself for the next 60 years? I'd rather go out. Thank you very much.
You know what I like? I like how they say, they don't say that you like fall down. They say, because they warn you, like when you haven't ridden before, they tell you like, well, your first bike, you don't want to get like a really nice bike the first time because you are going to, quote, lay it down.
Right.
Now, lay it down sounds like something that you do like by choice. Something
right. It's very kind of slow. Peaceful.
Yeah, it does.
I'm going to lay it down. I'm just going to lay it down. You're going to slam that fucking thing down. It's going to make a ton of noise. It's going to skid across the pavement. It's probably going to rip into your leg.
Yeah.
It could rip your spleen from the clutch lever. Yeah, there's a lot of bad shit that can go on.
My brother used to race those Grand Prix bikes, you know, on the tracks.
Yeah.
He'd lay bikes down at 150 miles an hour or more.
Yeah, that I can understand, though. But they're geared up, too. So, and I'm not trying to make excuses or sound like, oh, idiot, that's not hardcore. It's fucking a hardcore. But when you're going that fast and you're on a track bike, you're sliding like you're on ice for a good part of that time when you go down. And you got all that fucking gear on. They also know how to get away from the bike. Part of the problem when you go down, too, is if you try to stay with your bike, that's going to cause twice as many problems.
Also,
yeah, they get out from underneath the bike real quick.
Uh huh. You've got like 100 cars coming at you from every direction in the real world too. So there's
exactly
that. Yeah.
And in the mountains of Colorado, you have the arm, basically their guardrails, but their arm and leg ripper offers.
Oof.
Yeah, you're better off hitting a stationary object other than a guardrail, because it's not the guardrail that fucks you up; it's the posts. That hold the guardrail, they rip arms and legs off.
God, see, now this is the reasons why I'm gonna continue podcasting and driving in my car to the gym and just training and coming back home eating my food. Maybe go to the grocery store a couple times a week. It sounds boring, but I've been enjoying it, man, and I like my arms and my legs.
You've got both. Of course, I've got both too so far.
Yeah. So well,
they do have the Paralympics coming up after the Olympics.
That is a good point too. Very good point.
So this is our second show in 2 weeks, guys. We were on last week, but we didn't have S2H. We're coming back again, and we believe it or not, we've got a bunch of questions. I wanted to thank everybody who's been posting, because the Blood, Sweat, and Gear thread has been pretty active lately. We've got a bunch of stuff. We actually had a couple of updates too to some previous stuff. And yeah, we actually got a load more questions to go here. Do you guys have anything that's come up in your lives? Anybody that you've talked to recently who's had anything interesting that you'd want to bring to the show? I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but I thought that for the future, if anything comes up, you know, Skip, you're dealing with a client and he asks you something kind of cool or interesting and you think, hey, we could talk about that at Blood, Sweat, and Gear. I'd love to hear that stuff too.
I've got nothing.
Okay. And Scott, you could always tell us more about guns, right? If we need to fill time. Do we have Scott?
Scott now is ignoring us.
Scott's gone. We lost him. Yeah.
Now, if you want to talk about cats or you want to talk about, anything. I found out that my gym is gay, which fits with the theme perfectly.
What? How did you find this out? And I am looking. We did lose Scott. I want to try to add him back in. This is just radio brilliance, isn't it?
It's like we've only been doing this for 3 weeks.
Well, here's my thought, though, by the way. I'm just going to step back here. I'm taking a different attitude. This is our second show in 2 weeks, and I feel like we're going to lay it back a little bit. We're going to reduce the professionalism here, and we're just going to, you know, real talk. How does that sound?
I like how you're adjusting to the mess that has been created. Very well played, yes.
Yeah, tell me about your gym, though, and I'm going to react.
Here's the thing, I'm not, like, trying to fit the gay theme for the show as much as it's kind of funny that that's how it's going. Anyway, I'm at breakfast yesterday morning. This is actually a decent story. I'll try to make it, you know, short and concise.
We got Scott back. All that background noise, that's Scott,
what
by the way.
What the hell? I know.
Oh, sorry. I woke up, man.
Oh, God damn. This is an absolute train wreck.
Let's do two shows. It'll be great. Everybody will love two shows in the month. You know, two shows in 2 weeks. We fucked up. All right.
So I'm at breakfast. I'm at breakfast yesterday morning. Okay. I go to this new place that I like. I'm waiting to get in. First, I had a client that didn't show up, and his response was, we're supposed to spend the day. You know, we're going to get a burger and everything else. He's a cool cat. I'm not going to beat him up too much. But he's like, I text him. I'm like, yeah, I'm here. He's like, oh, I'm really sorry. I forgot. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. I was like,
he forgot about you?
Like, forgot? Like, what the fuck? I'm like, okay. So I'm on my bike. I'm by myself. And I go in. I can't get anybody to take my name. It's backed up. It's one of these nice, really good breakfast spots that you have to wait like 45 minutes for, right? Mm. So because I rolled in on my bike, you know, that's an attention grabber right there. So obviously the only meathead in the crowd besides me starts up a conversation, and he's asking about my bike, who built it and stuff like that. And it quickly goes from motorcycles to bodybuilding.
Okay.
And he was a nice enough guy. You know, he was pretty cool with his girlfriend, and we start talking. Anyway. Yeah, he's talking about TRT and everything he does. And quite frankly, and I don't want to beat him up because he was a nice guy, but he was a typical meathead in the sense that he just talked.
Yeah.
And he talked. And he talked some more. And when we found out that we had mutual friends in the industry, thankfully, he didn't ask me what I did because he didn't really care. And continued to talk. Anyway, he invited me to sit with them because I couldn't get a table and I couldn't get anybody to, you know, take my name, that sort of thing. So I sat with him and we were talking. And he said that he trained at Titan Gym, which is where I train right now. And he said that he used to train there for quite a while, but the last couple of weeks he went somewhere else. And he let me know that the gym was gay. And I was like, well, I train there from 9 to 11 at night. There's maybe like 5 people in there. I've never really noticed that. Now, I don't have, you know, gaydar, but I typically can, you know, tell, I think.
Do you shower at the gym, Skip?
I do not.
Okay.
No, I do not. In fact, I have an issue with that, but that's for another tangent for another show.
How about the sauna? You ever get like all naked and towel up and
And let my balls, my saggy balls hang out.
Hang out. Just, you know, just the guys in the sauna.
Just barely brush the shoulder of the guy in front of me. Yeah, no.
It's cool.
I don't do that. But he let me know that it was gay. And
no kidding.
He rattled off a couple of people. I'm like, yeah, I know him. He's like, he's gay. I'm like, what? Really? Yeah, he's meathead gay. So meathead gay apparently is different than, there's different levels of gayness, I guess. Okay. There's like flamboyant or parade gay. Yeah. That's where you put on a tutu and you dance around and you want everybody to know you're gay, I guess. Then there's, you know, with the women, there's lipstick gays, there's butch gay. I don't know. This is off the top of my head. Anyway, he rattled off a couple other people. I'm like, yeah, I know. And then I was like, oh, what about this cat? And I don't want to say his name because he's, you know, he's not gay. So I don't want to, you know, but he's a cool guy. But he's a journalist for Channel 10 down here. Oh, no, he's like, no, he's not gay. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, you know.
So you don't have to be gay to go there.
So now I get to go to the gym tonight, and I'm like, who's? I wonder if he's checking out my ass. And I'll take a look. Listen, I'll take a compliment from anybody. I don't give a fuck. Okay. I'm pro anyway. I just could give a shit. And if a gay guy tells me my ass looks good, I'm gonna go back and tell my wife with a smile on my face. That guy said I have a nice ass.
Hey, he likes my. You know who else trains at the gay gym? Skip
who?
Skip Hill.
Yeah, exactly. That's why. And it occurred to me. I'm like, how many people have I told that I train at Titan?
Yeah.
And I'm not from here. And they're like, ooh.
Yeah, there was I remember, so there was this gay club, it's out here in Ann Arbor, called The Necto, or Necto, I'm not sure which. And I got hit on by a guy one time, and his line was, haven't I seen you from somewhere? I was like, I don't know. And he was like, did I see you at The Necto? I said, nice. You know, but that was like his way of saying it. So it's kind of like, hey, haven't I seen you from somewhere? Did I see you at Titan? You know, exactly. That's kind of like, it's kind of like a signal is what I'm thinking.
Yeah. He's basically asking me, if I can paraphrase, are you gay like I am?
You're exactly. Yep. Titan. Yeah.
And now I can say yes.
Yes. I mean, Titan.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact.
And they know I'm not gay. I mean,
yet,
but they may think I'm bisexual. And just FYI, for people who have no understanding of the gay community, gays are not typically very supportive of bisexuals.
Really?
No, they are not. The large majority of them, I'm not speaking for all gays, so sure. I don't want anybody to slam me for making blanket statements, but the large majority of people in the gay community, I just say the majority, maybe not the large majority, but the majority of people in the gay community have the stance, which I find kind of odd because it seems intolerable to me, that it's almost like they're saying, come on, pick one. You're either gay or you're straight. Mm. You can't do both. And I'm thinking, wow, from a community who has a history of being judged for so long.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised that you guys in, you know, guys and gals in the gay community would extend that judgment to people who are bisexual. That's kind of an odd thing to me, but whatever.
We have a good number of gay listeners, guys, and I don't know, probably gals too. But I know we have a good number of gay listeners, openly gay guys. They're probably laughing at us right now because I don't think we really have this down. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't feel like I'm getting the expert point of view from you.
You're not.
But I don't feel like I could argue it either. So.
Right, exactly.
That we had gay listeners.
Yeah, we had. I think we just lost. I think they're boycotting the sponsors. And posting on social media about how bigoted we are.
Our sponsors are Team Skip and Advanced Training Tech. So,
that's not a good business move.
No, yeah, not at all.
That's not a good business model there, Scott. We're talking. That is an awful business model.
All right, I'm gonna try to rally here and pull this show together. What do you guys say we take a really quick commercial break and hear from our lovely sponsors? And when we come back, try to tackle some questions.
Team Skip has been synonymous with bodybuilding conditioning for the last two decades. From NFL players to professional bodybuilders to 40-something guys that just want to kill it in the gym and their shirt sleeves. If you have too much skin, call Skip. TeamSkip.com, because skin is overrated. If you've enjoyed S2H's contribution to Blood, Sweat, and Gear and would like to learn more, reach out to his team at AdvancedTrainingTech.com. No matter what your goals are, if you're heading to the pro stage or just want a recomp, feel free to register at AdvancedTrainingTech.com. Team S2H will be available to educate and inform members as to what plans would best fit their needs, or just hang out and interact at the forums free of charge. That's AdvancedTrainingTech.com. Hey guys, Scott McNally here.
And this is VJ Peary.
You guys know us from here at the Advices Radio Network. Well, we also have another show, Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. We've got everything from supplement reviews
to shout-outs,
listener questions,
and of course, our weekly bodybuilding podcast reviews.
So check us out every Friday.
Or whenever you feel like cooking or doing your cardio or basically wasting time with us.
You can hear us at bodybuildingnerds.com.
Also on iTunes. Bodybuilding Nerds, it's time to get nerdy.
All right, guys, and we are back. Hey, before we get started with all this, Scott, I wanted to ask you if you had any input on BPC 157. We got asked about that last week, and I talked about dosing and stuff in general, but I don't know much about the compound. Is this something that you've done much research on actually how BPC works?
Let me paraphrase for Scott first. What he's asking is, are you down with BPC?
You know, that one, when it first came out, you know, you hear the internet people saying, you know, I want to preface this. When you hear stuff on the internet, especially on message boards, yeah. I think you need to be cautious to who you're listening to, because being, I'll just put it straight up, being that I super moderated a lot of boards, there's a lot of people that rep that are other people on that board. They're using gimmick accounts. And I'm going to be real honest about it. I'm not going to say this indirectly to BPC 157, but in some of those segments of this illustrious sport of things people like to sell, you know, you're getting, you have to take the information with a grain of salt and do your own research.
Yeah.
Personally, I never saw that to be a very effective peptide.
Okay.
Now, with that saying being said, I mean, I really don't know anybody that's just that I have that be someone that I would take their word on it. That's just come to me and said it's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah,
I feel like I got something out of it, but it definitely didn't change my life the way that I would have liked it to have in what everything I'd read about it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a very. I mean, if you go look at the actual real research studies on it,
yeah.
For one, research studies are somewhat difficult to read sometimes, because what some people might perceive as great results, if you really look at the numbers and the way that they're plus minus and the type of people they're used in and what the groups consist of and how many people are in the group that the study is being done on. If you can decipher through all that, you'll figure out a lot of stuff is okay. Yeah. It's like, okay, it works a little bit, but it's really not as great as possibly the content this is describing, or you may not understand the content.
Okay.
So, you know, there's always placebo and stuff, but I just don't know anybody that's just come up to me and said, dude, this stuff is awesome. And it's somebody that I know that pretty much shoots it straight, you know?
Okay.
That's not saying it couldn't work for some people, but I don't see the real. If it was that great, everybody would buy it.
Right.
I think also I get my information from memes, so I've not seen it discussed in a meme. So I just naturally, I presume that it's not legit.
All right. Now, this is this next question here. This is kind of a comment on a previous conversation. I think that there was just a slight misunderstanding. He said, I'd like some clarification on something Skip said when I asked about EQ. He said he loves it, and one of the reasons is because it doesn't aromatize. Does it really not aromatize at all? I've always believed that it was half the rate of testosterone. And I think that, I think, Skip, that you were saying, like, it's not going to aromatize like test will, right?
Well, I mean, look, it's incredibly low as far as aromatizing. It's always been known to be very, I need to talk into my mic, my apologies. You know, it's known to be very, very low aromatize, you know, to aromatize. So, yeah. You know, to what degree, I don't know that I can say that. Scott, how do you explain to what degree, or if you compare it to another compound, how would you compare it?
It's low, but you know, most stuff
could be lower than half of testosterone, don't you think?
It's lower than that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I would say it's significantly to the point where I would say it's significantly low to the point where saying that it aromatizes at half of the rate of testosterone wouldn't be an accurate statement at all. I don't think.
And there's a lot of factors in aromatase. I mean, you have to have aromatase enzymes. There's a novel concept. So, I mean, you know, I think people get, what's the best way to put it? You can read these ratios and you got 100, you know, a 1-to-1 ratio and yeah. a 4-to-1, whatever. But if you have no aromatase enzymes, nothing's going to aromatize anyway, hardly. So, you know, it kind of depends on the person's body, too. If you have someone that has really high aromatase, especially if they get a little bit older, you'd be more prone to aromatize a drug that may not aromatize very high in someone who's 19 or, you know, that's a little young. Probably like somebody that's 25, let's say, or somebody that's really old, you know, or female that's postmenopausal, whatever. You know, there's like scenarios in what, and how much something can aromatize, because your body actually has to aromatize the compound. But no, I would put EQ in the lower group, like a lower group. If you want to, you know, put your so-and-so non-aromatizing or low aromatizing compounds, it's fall into that upper end of the lower group.
All right. I can tell you in my personal experience, I've never had any negative side effects from EQ outside of red blood count stuff. I've never had any
neither have I. Issues.
Yeah, nothing.
What about appetite? Do you get hit hard with the appetite?
Man, nothing makes me really hungry. At least, not that I can tell. Really?
I've never had the appetite issues from EQ either. I think that if I had to put a number on it, and this is just me taking a stab at it, I'd say about 20% of my clients over the years have given me feedback saying that it actually significantly increased appetite. Hmm. And I think that's considerably lower than what most people who have appetite issues with EQ would think that it is. And how do you see it, Scott, with your clients?
I think it's person dependent. I mean, I gobbled, you know, Anadrol like was going out of style for years, and I would eat like a horse. Where most people would say, oh, you're going to lose your appetite. Yeah. And I don't see EQ being that big of a problem appetite-wise going either way. And it all kind of bundles in that same thing, like the other conversations. Where's the person at in their diet? Where are they at in training? Where's everything coming together? I mean, you could just be hungry as hell because you're just killing the gym. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you're growing. I mean, it's I think this – there's certain compounds, yeah, they're going to cause certain things in a higher percentage of people. But there's so many, secondary and tertiary effects to why things happen that you got to kind of look at the big picture.
Well, and that goes with the blood count issue as well, like you were saying, Scott. I think a lot of people are, they have this misconception that, yeah, only EQ and Anavar, as an example, to throw out a couple examples, are going to, you know, increase your RBC, hematocrit, and hemoglobin. And sometimes I will get a message that is insinuating that that's what they're asking or what they're saying. And I just think to myself, I sure hope, and I usually respond with this, you know, I hope that you don't think those are the only compounds that increase blood viscosity.
Sure.
Because I think, it's safe to say that damn near every compound does to some degree. And you can run just testosterone, and you run it, you know, even at moderate to high doses, you're going to have RBC and hematocrit and hemoglobin issues if you're prone to having RBC, hematocrit, and hemoglobin issues. So there are people who can run EQ and not have those issues. It jumps up a little bit more than it does for other compounds. But if you're prone to having issues with blood viscosity, pretty much any compound you take is going to increase those numbers.
Hey, just do HRT for a year if you have those issues, you know?
And there are people who even do HRT or TRT and have ranges or have numbers that are out of range as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I even asked myself this question. I was having a discussion with my wife about a week ago, and I'll give her credit. She's actually the one who asked. She said, if you were to run TRT and all of a sudden you had numbers that were out of range, what would you do? Give blood. But you know what? In my history and in my past, giving blood has not, it takes a little bit of the edge off, but I don't drop significantly no. from giving blood. No. I would probably get about, if I remember correctly, I mean, I'm thinking back to 2012, 2013, I would only drop about 0.8 of a point, which is not to say it's not significant and it's not helpful. Clearly it is. But I wouldn't even drop a full point on hemoglobin or hematocrit numbers.
Well, you were at that elevation too.
Yeah, but I was taking those different parameters or those different ranges into account. And, you know, even if you give blood, even at a higher elevation, especially when you're acclimated to that higher elevation, to not get a full point, I'm like, wow, that's I would have, I think most people would think that you would get more than that. And maybe some people do. Maybe most people. I don't. I just don't get, and that's why when Bonfies is the only blood draw or blood donation company in Denver or in Colorado, really. And when they shut me down and wouldn't let me give blood anymore because I made the mistake of telling them that it was, you know, my doctor had told me to come in.
Yeah.
And this is for anybody listening, because I said that a while ago. Do not ever tell a blood donation service that your doctor told you that you need to come in and give blood because your numbers were high, because then all of a sudden you have to have a doctor, at least you did in Colorado, you have to have a doctor's note to give blood. They will not let you. They put me in the system and would not let me give blood. I could not go back and give blood.
That's messed up.
Yeah, it really is. Couldn't even give blood and have the blood destroyed.
I was thinking about that. I remember listening to you guys all the way back. Do you remember the conversation that you guys had with Taylor about doing your own home phlebotomy?
Yeah, that I put my arm off the deck. Yeah,
a coffee can full of blood.
Exactly. That's what it was.
You could do that. I don't know why I was just thinking about that the other day. You really could do that. I don't think I'd have the balls, though, personally.
You could just shoot yourself in the femoral artery and just stand there and just squirt everywhere. And then.
But how do you know? How do you really know when you've given enough?
When you think start about getting it, lightheaded?
Like you pass out or something?
You die.
Because, I mean, a pint, how much do you give? Do they don't take a pint. They take, a half pint or something? How much do they take?
You can go up to two. But that's not
okay, I didn't know that. But I'll tell you this. If it's spurting out of your arm, off of your deck, or into a coffee can, I'm pretty sure you're going to get to about an eighth of a pint, and you're going to think you've given half a gallon. Because your brain is going to think, I'm bleeding out. Oh, my God, what if this is too much? So your brain is going to fuck with you. There's no way that you could sit there and phlebotomize yourself and try to guesstimate how much you're actually losing. You would always stop short because you'd be scared to death that you're giving too much blood.
That's why you do it. You do it into a 16-ounce soda bottle.
How do you do that? You aim? What do you do? You just aim at it and you try to get it into the bottle? I don't think so. What, you put the bottle over the top of the, like the back part of the needle? Yeah.
Or you just get one of those, you can get one of those big oil spout things you put in your motor when you put your oil in. Just aim for it.
Yeah, funnel. There you
funnel.
Go.
Funnel. Yeah, one of those big funnels. Yeah. Use the one for your protein powder.
I'm getting a little queasy over here.
What is that? Oh, don't worry. It's fine. Bloodwurst.
So we hit
in about 2 months, Scott, you're going to get a you're going to get papers in the mail from an attorney.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some serious liability issues here because some dumbass is going to be trying to phlebotomize himself and it's he will have killed himself.
Yeah, they're going to have a clip of me saying, "I think that's possible."
I might be getting papers anyway, so.
I don't even know what Scott's I don't know what Scott's implying there. Are we supposed to know?
Well, so this I read this guy's this somebody posted and they're like, "Yeah, my girlfriend gave me this for Valentine's Day." And I'm like, "Oh, fuck, when was that?" I'm like then I realized why my wife hasn't talked to me in 6 days.
I had to say, "Hello." Shit. You're married. You get a pass on Valentine's Day. My wife and I don't. We celebrate anniversaries. There is no Hallmark holidays in this household. We've been married for 25 years. We do anniversaries, Mother's, Father's Day, and birthdays. That's it. Hallmark can kiss my ass.
Well, the anniversary thing, that's, you know, I usually do better with the ones that are on the calendar. You know, those sad ones, the sad holidays. But, I struggle a little bit with those.
So you don't remember your anniversary? Yeah, if you're not going to remember Valentine's Day or your anniversary, you should be served papers. What the hell are you thinking?
That's the thing, thinking. See, thinking, that's the problem.
Right. Play the sick card.
I have alarms in my phone, like on the calendar for certain things.
That's the way to do everything. I need an alarm to remind me when I'm training and where I'm training and who I'm training with. Otherwise, just little stuff. Otherwise, I forget.
I put everything in my Google Calendar.
Do you?
Everything. Yes. Yeah, I forget everything. There's too many things with kids and my wife, and especially with the move and stuff, that there's no way I wouldn't be able to remember everything. I can't remember what the flavor of the protein drink I drank during the break.
I know what kind of protein it was.
Team Skip Blend.
Yep.
Shameless plug.
Use code Skip.
There you go.
Where's my free stuff, Skip? Send me some free stuff.
I have a trunk full of protein bags.
I hear this a lot, but I don't see anything in my mailbox.
Listen, if I just inadvertently sent you something in the mail and it came from Team Skip, you know full well the first thing you would do is you would start looking around frantically.
You wouldn't put it sign down, for right, it.
Return to sender on it, put it at the front door, and then go grab a couple firearms and start looking through the bushes outside your house. You know.
Actually, I look for a shirtless guy riding a bike with no gloves on.
Driving by like the paperboy delivery guy and just throwing bags on front porches. I don't have that much, but I do have a lot. I just got another shipment from True Nutrition, and because the apartment is so small, I put that some bitch in my trunk, so now I've got even more.
Is that good for your protein, I wonder?
No.
You know, well, I'm in a garage, though, so it probably, you know, like in a parking garage. So it probably isn't great, but yet it is February, so it's not like it's, you know, the middle of August. But I only have about 2 weeks. I got to go back to Colorado this weekend, actually.
Oh, really?
Yep, to clean the house out. And I was going to have a bunch of undocumented Hispanics do it. And that's not a politically shitty thing to say. The reason I say that is because if you want something done and you want a job done where people bust their nuts, get Hispanics who do not speak English and they will clean the fuck out of your house. They will move shit. They will. If I'm moving furniture or moving and I need something done, I'm not kidding. I want Mexicans to do it because white people don't work that hard. No. I'm just saying. No, they don't.
I'm with you.
They'll be asking when the break is. It's like white people are unionized, even when they don't. White labor workers.
We're very entitled.
Non-union. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, well, I worked for an hour. It's like kind of like my kid, basically, my son. Like my son is unionized, but he doesn't have a job.
Yeah,
it's the weirdest thing.
All right. ICE will be at your house soon.
All right,
I'm
guys.
I'm in a sanctuary city. I think I'm okay.
Let's move on to this question. And I just texted both of you. so that you can see what this looks like on paper, because he's basically, he likes to train every day, and he wanted to run his split by us. I think maybe he's looking for a little bit of justification here, where we tell him, yeah, it's okay, you train every day, you know, and this is good. But he says, love your show and the great info. Thank you for that. He says, I have a question about training frequency. I am a powerlifter / strongman that likes to train like a bodybuilder. I know it's bad to train every day. However, I have ADHD, anxiety, which training helps dramatically to control. If I don't go to the gym after work, I feel like total shit. My head is foggy, I have zero energy, and I don't feel well. Once I go to the gym, I feel like $1 million. I'm ready to have good quality family time and do whatever else I need to do in the evening. I am a garbage man and I work 10 hours a day, Monday through Friday. I get about 6 hours of sleep on weeknights. I don't drink and I eat well, not too much junk food at all. And I'm also on TRT and I do blast cycles throughout the year. So I wanted to get your thoughts on a training split that would look something like this. So it's going to be harder for you guys to visualize at home. Skip and Scott and I all can look at this written on in front of us. Monday, deadlifts only, heavy weight, low volume. Tuesday, cardio and upper body accessories, lighter weight, moderate volume. Then Wednesday, conditioning and cardio. Thursday, bench only, heavy weight, low volume. Friday, conditioning and lower body accessory work, bodybuilding leg workout. And Saturday, cardio. Sunday, squats and strongman implements. So he's doing, just to kind of break this down a little bit, Sunday he's doing squats and strongman. Saturday is cardio only. I don't really consider that a training day, personally.
Correct. Yeah, me either.
Friday. I do. Yeah. Friday is conditioning and lower body. So he's doing, he says, a bodybuilding leg workout. So Friday he's doing a leg workout, but then he's squatting on Sunday, which is just, you know, 48 hours later. Before that, on Thursday, bench, heavy weight, low volume. So he's probably not moving too fast, but he's lifting a lot of heavy weight. Wednesday is conditioning and cardio. So I don't know what he means by conditioning. If he's doing, doesn't sound like weightlifting. So that kind of sounds like a day off in a way too. Kind of.
Yeah. It's hard to speculate what conditioning means. And when he talks about a bodybuilding workout for legs,
yeah,
I'm not even sure, you know, what that entails.
Here's what I'm going to guess, Skip. So, but just and I'll follow through too one more time as I was backing through the workouts. Tuesday was cardio and upper body accessories, lighter weight, moderate volume, and then back to Monday was deadlifts only, heavy weight, low volume. So it looks like he has, like, you know, heavy compound powerlifting type stuff on Monday and Thursday and Sunday. So he's got 3 days a week of that heavy stuff. And then he's got some, I think when he says like the other stuff is going to be like bodybuilding style, I bet he means like he's doing leg curls and extensions and hack squats, you know, things like that. But
yeah, that's probably true. What I'm seeing is, and tell me if you're seeing the same thing, if you're hitting a hard or relatively hard bodybuilding workout on a Friday and you're coming back and trying to squat on Sunday and deadlift on Monday, that's rough.
That's what I'm thinking too, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty rough. Now, from there until the following Friday, doesn't look like a lot of leg work. So other than, you know, what is your cardio? If your cardio is walking on a treadmill with a heart rate of 110, okay. If your cardio is doing, you know, double stepping the stairs or doing Jacob's ladder, that may be, you know, a bit much. So I don't know exactly, you know, we don't know the demands that he's really putting on a system, but I can say this, and I'll say this over and over as often as I can. If you are of the mindset that you have to train every day, I can almost guarantee that your recovery is not what it's supposed to be. It's so difficult to train 7 days a week and to maximize recovery. You know, if you're cycling, obviously that would help. TRT, I guess that would be better than not being on TRT. But you'd have to have some pretty good unless these workouts just are not very intense and they're very, very brief.
That's a good point.
I, I can't see the recovery being maximized. Is he getting away with it? Maybe he's getting away with it. Is he progressing? Maybe he's progressing. But I can't see how it could be dialed in from a recovery standpoint that this is the most efficient or effective process for him. And if I was to give a kind of sarcastic or smart response, because, you know, smart ass response, because I do that sometimes, I would just tell him to get a cooler wife, and then he wouldn't want to be at the gym so much. He'd want to be home after some of those 10-hour days and hang out with his cool wife. And I don't know that his wife isn't cool, but I will admit that sometimes, and I can't speak for this person here, but sometimes people work out like other people drink.
What do you mean?
They find that time in the gym and they use it as therapy and to kind of cope. And, you know, I said when I was younger, it was a lot different than now with the gym. I would spend more time in the gym, not only because I thought it was more effective, admittedly, but I just plain had more time. And I think he had said, he's older too, and with so many things in life that still need attention, whether it be, and I don't know that he's got a family, I don't know that he's married, maybe he's single. But when you're spending that much time in the gym, and that's not to say that there are not older people who love, just plain love to be in the gym. I get it if that's the case. Yeah. ADHD, and I get it. But I almost feel an obligation to respond with, take a hard look at the other things in your life to see, not necessarily if you're miserable, but if you're not happy with the other aspects of your life. Damn, and you're just using the gym to cope and to not be miserable during that time.
Dude, I could totally relate to that at points in my life where I felt like I had nothing else to look forward to, so I would go to the gym 7 days a week, you know?
Sure.
Regardless.
There was a recent study, I will try to, Scott, remind me, I'll post it on the forum.
All right.
That correlates very similar things to what's described here, that excessive exercise, lack of sleep, which is generally they put that in the 7 to 8 hour range a night of quality sleep, high, you know, REM and all that, will increase AD and anxiety.
Really?
Yeah. And especially if it's coupled with labor intensive or long work days that are physically demanding, like obviously this person has, and that what happens is it begins to steamroll and you get in this cycle of the codependency of going to the gym, of the stimulation of your body, but it actually becomes counterproductive and things begin to ramp up even more. And what that study led to was, it actually was done on military people that were deploying a lot, and how there was codependence also in prescription drug use to compensate for these, as it steamrolled more and more downhill. So I have a study. I'll post it. Yeah, it was pretty interesting. It was done on a very large group, so it was a pretty in-depth study. It was done through couple trials, and it's pretty interesting. And all those combination of those things, and these people were all experiencing the same thing. They were having to train every day. They were having ADD, anxiety issues. Sleep was becoming more and more compressed. And it all just compounded.
So. Yeah.
And I'm not the least bit surprised by that. I mean, if you think about it, how are you going to sleep if you work 10 hours? And I'm using this guy as an example. And again, I don't know if this is his situation, but he's working 10 hours a day.
Physical.
He's training every day. Yeah. When is your time to think about getting things done or errands that you have to run? You would think that it's when you lay down to go to sleep. You're like, oh man, I didn't get this done today. You know, I didn't have enough time. I need to do this. I need to do that. That's when you try to go to sleep. People who can't sleep are typically processing things, like their mind is too busy. Hey. You're running over. If you have that time during the day to be able to sit, whether it's on your balcony or on your porch, and just chill, have a conversation with your kids or your wife or your girlfriend, whatever, you have time, you have more time to process things, and you don't typically, I would think, take those things to bed with you and lay in bed and process those things or think about them. So it makes sense. I'm not surprised.
And that was part of the study, was that these guys eventually got into a system where they knew they needed more sleep, so they were using, it was Ambien actually was the drug of choice, but it's been fairly well proven that a lot of these sleeping drugs, you don't get deep REM sleep. So, yeah. And as you said, Skip, you go to lay down and people, they go, okay, I've got anxiety, I've got ADHD, everything like this, and they can't fall asleep. And then when they do, they don't get quality sleep, and they're really not even getting half of the sleep that they think they're getting.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So just take Ambien and Adderall and keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Bodybuilding mentality. I need another drug to counter this drug and to counter everything else that's going on in my life. Happens all the time.
That'll ride around your bike with your shirt off.
That too.
I think, Skip, you hit something really interesting there, and it's something I was noticing at first too. That idea of leg workout, then a day off of legs, and then squats right after that, you know. if my intensity's up and I'm training really hard, I mean, I can't do that. Like, I couldn't. I'm going to need several days to recover from that. I guess overall, the vibe I'm getting here, because I get it. I get that feeling of, I get that physical release. And not everything he's doing here, like, he's got that cardio-only day. He's got that other day that he calls cardio and conditioning, which I'm not sure what he means by conditioning. But obviously, it's probably something faster-paced. I think, too, though, about some of my guys that I've worked with, and even the way I used to train, I couldn't bring really heavy intensity, and so I made up for that with a lot of volume. And I don't think that volume really took me as far as I don't know, man. I don't know where I'm going here, because, I mean, he's still lifting heavy weights. He's got three heavy days a week. I just feel like it's still really complicated. What if he just had his three heavy body parts and then, you know, did cardio a couple times a week? And what if he just did cardio like on these off days instead of, could he do something else? Is there something else he could do here and still be, what could he do basically to get in the gym seven times a week and still effectively train and grow and reach his goals and not hold himself back by being there so often? Is it that he needs to have less actual training days maybe and do more cardio? I know what I ended up doing was I started doing yoga, and that helped me out mentally because I needed to still be doing something physical. And I felt like the yoga didn't hold me back from my bodybuilding goals, but it did like get me physical and doing something. And I don't know. I just don't like the idea of training this many times.
Right.
It sounds to me like, you know, I don't think to make the person not feel like they're like out there. I mean, what he's doing is pretty freaking, this is not something uncommon to see.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that what he's saying is very like or common to people that train like this. And, you know, the point being is are you going to the gym? And when he said it, he's going to the gym therapeutically more than, I don't think he put any goals or any, you know, what he was trying to ascertain from going 7 days a week. It sounded to me like it was purely, mostly therapeutic, which is, I mean, you guys tell me, I think I find that pretty common.
Sure.
That people overtrain and they have maybe like an OCD therapeutic need to go to the gym. And, I think it's more common than it is uncommon in a lot of facets.
Well, and I think too, the fact that he's doing it every day really is no different than someone who, let's say you're training 4 days a week, but you're doing so much volume and your intensity is so high that it's counterproductive as well. Mm. I mean, there's a ton of different, you know, issues or variables here that, like you say, we don't know. And there's, you know, the fact that he's going every day doesn't necessarily mean that what he's doing is wrong. All I'm saying is I think trying to apply it to the majority or to, you know, to most people, if he's going every day and he's training with the intensity that, say, we would, it would be difficult for him to maximize recovery. But I agree, if it's therapeutic, listen, if it really is therapeutic and it's working for him and he's not having sleep issues and, you know, he doesn't feel that there are balance issues in his life and everything else. Look, I'm not here to, you know, to be anybody's therapist. And I don't want to tell anybody, well, you just, you know, you need to make time for other things and you need to be a balanced individual. I do think people need to take a closer look at that. But strictly, he's not asking for life advice. He's asking on our show about his workout schedule. And I'm assuming he's asking, you know, what is his ultimate question? I'm assuming that he's asking if it's efficient, if it's, you know, if he's going to get the best results this way. Even if you're doing it therapeutic, I still think that people who listen to the show and ask questions want to know that what they're doing is the best way to do it.
Yeah, they're looking to improve it and make it the best they can.
Sure. So if he's sitting and he's saying, look, this is what I do. This is my work schedule. I want to continue to train 7 days a week. I guess my best advice would be make sure that those 7 days are not all over the top intensity. Because you're going to have a hard time recovering from that. So if you're going to put, you know, the leg sessions are a good example. If you're going into the bodybuilding workout and you're going 100% balls out, yeah, I don't know how he would be able to put up good numbers on Sunday for squats. I'd actually be more concerned about his lower back because those 3 days spread over the course of 4 days, you know, I mean, you're pulling deads the day after you're squatting. You know, you got to be careful.
That's a good point.
Like that. Yeah. So, you know, is it balls out or is it 4 or 5 sets, you know, of, you know, sets of 5? We just don't know. If he's using periodization and he's, you know, the leg workout, like you say, for bodybuilding is leg curls, leg extensions, and, you know, it's 4 sets a piece and, you know, he's doing a couple sets of hack squats and it's not all that intensive. Okay, but I would question whether that's even effective or worth the time.
Yeah.
But that's not for me to say. If he just wants to be in the gym and he wants to do things and that works for him, listen, it may not be the best coping mechanism if, say, the rest of his life isn't all that great, but it's better than going out and drinking. Yeah. It's better than you know, doing drugs or you know, taking pain pills or whatever. I mean, it's, you know, it's clearly the lesser of the evils. So it depends on his mindset and how he's approaching it as well.
Okay, yeah, I guess there's a lot of ways we could go with this, and I think that that's what he wanted, was he wanted to try to figure out how to get the most out of this. And I have to imagine too, if he's a garbage man, I mean, I know a lot of times nowadays, I don't know about you guys, we have the machine, like the guy just sits in the truck and this lever comes out and it picks up the trash can and it dumps it in. It's not like the old days where there's like guys just out there just swinging the cans around and dumping them in the back of the truck. I don't know if it's like that where he lives.
I think too, though, a lot of times what they do is they will, in my experience, what I've seen is they still have to get out and they have to put the cans on the lift.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, then there's other guys who just pull up to big dumpsters and their job is to only, you know, do the garbage routes for dumpsters. So it's hard telling. But again, if he's doing 10 hours of, you know, laborious work and then going into the gym 7 days a week,
yeah,
you know, you got to wonder. Now, over time, you know, he may well have adapted to that workload. Andy Hammond is a good example. You know, IFBB pro from Denver, Colorado. Actually, not Denver, Colorado Springs.
I didn't know he was from Colorado.
Yeah, he's from Colorado Springs. Lives in Black Forest down there. But he, he always says a lot. He wants to do something every day, and he encourages people to not necessarily be in the gym every day, but, you know, to do something active every day. I think Arnold said something similar. I think it just depends, though. If you're in the gym, balls out 7 days a week, I don't know that that's going to be, you know, terribly productive, I guess is my point.
Mm. I know a guy, speaking of that kind of your analogy, kind of towards that, is I know a guy that his goal is to break a sweat every day. That sounds kind of general, but to implement something in his day, it doesn't have to be weightlifting. It doesn't have to be cardio, but something in his day, like he might go skiing or something. And his goal is just every day, I want to break a sweat for, you know, doing something. It doesn't have to be totally taxing or high volume or, you know, I mean, I could walk outside and break a sweat, so that would count. Yeah, I can see that. And for him, it's therapeutic on that level. You know, it's kind of like, oh, I've got to break a sweat every day because that's what I do every day.
Right.
And I really think the guy, I think, and depending on the person's age, you can get away with that for a while. and I can tell you this from working physically demanding jobs when I used to train way too much, you can run that gamut, you know, run that gauntlet for a while. It could be a couple of years, but eventually it's going to catch up to you.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And you're going to start to have, you know, injuries, or you're going to start to have more. I used to sleep like next to nothing. Yeah. And that was one of the things I got from it was, you know, 3-4 hours of sleep was just was I'd go to bed at midnight and get up at 3:30. And that was just something that wasn't really wasn't something I designed or thought of, but it led to that eventually. And it led to some issues, burnout, just injuries, that kind of stuff.
Well, and the other part too is, and I don't want to keep going on this topic, but you know, if you live a life that is relatively uneventful, where you don't have things out of your control that happen a lot, then, you know, he could probably function on this type of schedule for a while. But as soon as something, you know, things out of the norm start to happen, you know, if he's got kids and they're sick, or they have, you know, he's got problems in his family with health issues, or he's got to travel, or, you know, things like that, it'll take a schedule like that that is so compressed and so compact, and every minute is accounted for, and then all of a sudden it's complete and utter chaos. And when you throw chaos at someone with ADHD or ADD or anxiety, it becomes an absolute fucking train wreck in your brain.
Quick, yeah.
Yeah, when you're looking at your clock, and this is what I used to do. I would be looking at my phone, the clock, going, okay, I've got to get out of here at 5:10 to come put this in by 6:15.
Exactly.
To make it to this by 6:30. And then it's like, doo, 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 and then all of a sudden the day ends, and that's where the sleep problems came in. And there was nothing really, you know, there was this, you know, 9, 10 o'clock at night, and it's kind of like this void of nothing to do, and you just sit there and watch TV and you can't sleep.
I've got a Scott question here. This is from Triv Nadu. He says, if someone is predisposed to cancer, it runs in the family, would GH be a no-no due to an increase in IGF, or is this only an issue if you take IGF by itself?
No, it's either one. I mean, they do. They have the same end outcome. Predisposed. Okay, for one thing, they don't cause cancer.
Okay.
But if you have cancer, and especially if you don't know, you know, it can be like throwing diesel fuel on a fire. And I would say my advice would be if you have, if I'm going to put it down this way. If you're a male and you have a long history of prostate cancer, you know, anything, melanoma, whatever, down the male side of your family, then you need to be very careful.
Okay.
Especially immediate family, fathers, grandfathers, brothers, that kind of thing, blood uncles. You need to reassess that thought process.
Because here's the thing is that what you're saying is that the GH or the IGF isn't causing the cancer. It will just speed it up once you have it, right?
Yep.
Okay. Fair enough. We had a question here that was really, really basic, and I almost don't feel like it's good show material, but I feel like I want to help the guy out, so I can go into this with him on the messages, on the actual message board a little bit later. He's asking about you know, pinning, basically, and what kind of pins he should use and all that. We usually, you know, that's some pretty basic stuff. I think you get that information all over the internet. But you guys suggest that glute shots are basically the best place to start when you're doing like your first test cycle, two shots a week, say. Just out of curiosity.
I don't know. Do you want to touch it, Scott?
I mean, if you can reach him.
If you can reach him.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, it's funny because I'll talk about a lot of things and sometimes I'll, you know, type away. There's just something weird to me that makes me cringe when I answer questions like this.
Yeah. How so?
You know, I don't know. There's just something about it. I would just say this. I'm not a big fan of glute shots. I never was.
Okay.
I think they're hard to reach. It's hard to aspirate. there's just something very, it's, and it's a me thing. It's, you know, it's my own shit. There's just something weird or not creepy, but something off in my brain when I have to tell a client or tell someone how to do an injection. I don't know.
I'm following you. I think I'm following you here.
It's just a, you know, it's probably just a me thing. I'm not big on them because I think they're difficult to do. And I just not terribly comfortable. It's almost like, I feel like somebody's parent out there is cringing because I'm telling their kid how they need to take drugs. I don't know.
The way I look at it. And cause I had written an article actually on a safe injection technique. And the reason that I put it together was, I've heard of some people doing some really stupid stuff.
And that's a very good point.
I'd rather they were, because I feel like it's something that, okay, you know, some people go into this, and I think there's a stigma, you know. So if you're not used to using anabolics, there can be a stigma that, you know, some of these things people are like, oh, this is a drug, and you're injecting it, and that makes it really hardcore. And, you know, we're injecting drugs, so like it equates to, like, you know, heroin or something like that.
Right.
You know, to an outside perspective. But when what we're talking about is a medical administration of a medication, which is done countless times, you know, across the world, millions, you know, thousands of times every day, everywhere. And so for me, in my perspective, I've always wanted to give people that, you know, give them that safety so they can, because you could fuck yourself up bad, or, you know, you can keep things pretty sterile. I've had people tell me some really crazy stuff, you know, about reusing needles because they didn't have them, and my jaw just drops, you know.
Right.
You know, or just like, I used the same barrel for everyone. I just changed the pins, you know, right. Stuff like that. I'm like, what? You know, my jaw just has dropped. I'm surprised. Like, you did this for 12 weeks and you didn't get an abscess, you know?
I've got a veteran friend. I think I've said this on the show before, a veteran friend who years and years and years of bodybuilding.
Yeah.
And he will inject through his shirt.
Oh, you mentioned that one time. Dude, that's nuts.
Yeah. Not an IM shot, but still, you know, if you're taking, you know, GH or, you know, doing something sub Q and you just inject it through your shirt, there's just something off with that.
Yeah.
Just a little off.
You know,
complacency.
They say that, but there, you know, there's a lot of administered, not anabolics, but there's a lot of drugs that are administered through pinning through clothes.
What? Like what?
Morphine.
Well, yeah, okay. I mean, I can see, yeah.
They make a lot of the stuff that's used in combat. They're like ready jacks, and they're made to pin right through clothes.
Really?
But I think that isn't that in situations where, you know, they're pretty much going to be lifeless, and they're trying to just put them in a position where they're trying to ease their pain in the final minutes. I mean, it's not ideal. No. It's just. No. Okay, well, I don't know.
I would think. Well, I know. Actually, the mentality is that it's efficient, and you know, like, and I base this off of some stuff that's used in the services. You know, I mean, when you got bullets cracking over your head, you're like, oh, let me aspirate, and chill. But there's other stuff too that I can recall getting. Going down the shot line when I was in a service, you didn't lift your sleeve up, bing, 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 right down the line in your delts.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to take the government's methods.
Yeah.
Well, that's true also, you know.
Yeah. Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, they used to use the same fucking gun arm to arm, too. One person right after the other. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 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 Like 12 of you walk down the line. Bing, 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 bing.
Ooh, I'd hate to be the 12th guy in that.
Yeah, exactly.
For more than one reason. You know?
The guy in front of you, like, hey, you been going to that whorehouse lately? No, man, I ain't been going there.
Yeah, that and the pain, you know?
Yeah.
The pain of the
it might be a little shot. Yeah, it might be a little dull, like trying to jam a garden hose into your arm. I don't know. I can appreciate your approach. I get what you're saying, and logically that makes sense. It's a situation where you're trying to give you know, the best information that you can so that people don't hurt themselves. And, you know, honestly, that's what I've always said about TRT and about gear use anyway. So I don't know why I look at it any differently, because it's essentially the same principle. So if you're approaching it from a safety and, you know, that type of concern so that they're doing it right, I get that. I don't know why I can't wrap my brain around it. It just makes me uncomfortable. I don't know exactly what it is. I guess my best advice to this question would be, if you're going to give yourself a shot, I just don't think giving yourself glute shots, especially if you're a newbie, is the best move.
Really?
Because you can't. Yeah, I don't think it is, because, you know, you have your sciatic nerve, and being able to understand quadrants and put it in and be able to aspirate, I think is, you know, it's part of the reason why in European countries, nursing, you know, nurses don't give shots in glutes, or they give it ventrogluteal. And that's why those are so much easier shots to give, and you're not near major nerves. So I don't know why the U.S. doesn't do that as well.
Can I tell you something? I still stand
by the fact that delts are still the easiest to inject. I just feel that they're, and no one can have shoulders that are too wide.
Can I tell you something?
What?
I've never done a ventrogluteal shot.
Oh, no kidding.
Never have. Yeah. I'm afraid to. I don't feel like I get it. I don't feel like I understand it.
Oh, gotcha.
Well, I don't aspirate. Never have.
No kidding. See, now we're just having fun because something else I never do is I would never use an alcohol swab.
Really?
Nope, me
neither. I would swab the top of a bottle every couple months, or every couple weeks, but not skin. And you figure, you know, I use lotion and everything, but I don't. And part of the reason is I've heard of a couple nurses who are bodybuilders say that all an alcohol swab does is essentially make the germs on the injection site, it's like it mixes the germs or makes the germs wet. That it doesn't kill all the germs in that area for an alcohol swab. So why use it?
I never heard that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't remember. I've been stuck with a lot of stuff. I don't have to remember, I can remember any nurses ever aspirating or doctors.
That's
or whatever.
That's a good point. That's a yeah. good point.
Yeah, or ventrogluteal either. It was always dull.
I can tell you this, though. In my years and years of cycling, three times I had a compound that I felt start to go up my arm and into my chest like battery acid.
Ooh.
Literally, and it was the worst feeling in my entire life. So I still say, because I agree with you, I have not seen, I don't think I've seen a medical professional aspirate either that, or they do it so quick.
Fast. Yeah, that's what
and
I wondered.
The other thing is, too, is aspiration, you know, a lot of people who, and especially bodybuilders, think that aspiration is you have to tug on that fucker and, oh, there's a tiny drop. If you've hit something, if you're not applying pressure to the plunger, it'll start to backfill itself if you hit something bad enough.
Mm.
So, and you're going to know right away, oh, shit, that's too much. Not, oh, there's a drop of blood. Oh, no. Where people, and I wish I could show this visual, where people get into trouble is because you can still aspirate and end up with a problem. What happens is, and I'm explaining it with my fingers in the air, the pin goes through, this is one example, the pin goes through a small vein, but only barely.
Yeah.
Aspirate, nothing comes out. You're good. Until about a third of the way or halfway through the injection, the pin has naturally just barely backed out enough that it's now in the vein. So aspiration doesn't typically or can't always cover every situation anyway. I think what it is because the frequency of injecting when you're a bodybuilder and you're using hormones is, you know, 100 or 1,000 times over the average person that goes in for, you know, into the urgent care, or into the ER for a shot or, you know, vaccination, whatever, that statistically we run there's a higher chance we're going to have a problem. So the aspiration is probably more important.
So basically,
better you're trying to hit a vein.
Mm. For this new guy, don't listen to anything we just said.
You know, there is a thing on I just thought about this. You know where I think it's at, actually? In the original, what's that book? Oh my God. The big blue book. The Wellens book. Bill Llewellyn's book, the original one.
Not
Anabolics? Yeah, I think there's actually a chapter or section in there, and there's a thing on Google or whatever that actually shows you the quadrants and shows you the positions to get into. Yeah, I think there's actually a chart on it.
There's some websites, too, that have like some good step-by-step picture type things. And I'll direct him to some of that stuff, too. You know what I always heard, Skip? I heard that glutes are good, and I found this in my life, too, because it's a large muscle, and it's very pliable.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. Being, you know, large muscle, you're not as apt to, you know, if you have someone who's real skinny, you know, you're not going to, hit a bone with an inch and a half pin. I get that. I think it's just the fact that I can't see and I can't aspirate. I mean, you can't even really see if you're going to, you know, if it were to start to backfill when you, and I guess if it was only the only option or one of only one or two options, I guess I could see it. But when you have ventral gluteal, when you have your quad right in front of you, your delt, you know what? I mean, shit, I'd rather go into my lats, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I find that easier. You know, you reach your arm around to your side and hold your, the back of your tricep. And it's easier to aspirate that way even than it is to go. And keep going into the same. If you go into the glutes all the time, eventually they're not going to end up very terribly pliable.
You start creating
scar tissue and it's just like gristle in there.
The next time I'm down there, Skip, you could land on a table naked, and I'll do glute shot sectors on you.
We could do it right at Titan Gym.
All right. I'm going to ask a question here about fasting from Keith Allen. He says he was watching a video saying that fasting is rebooting your body like a computer. What's your opinions on fasting, guys, and have you had any experience with it? Scott, I thought you talked about some fasting not too long ago. Or am I mistaken?
I don't know anything about rebooting a computer, so we have to go with the notes right now. I tell you what, I've had different thoughts about this, and I don't know. There's been times in my life where I've worked like jobs and there wasn't a lot of time to eat. So technically I probably had gone fasted in what a lot of people would call that time frame based off of, you know, there's no time to eat. But I don't know. I think I could fit more of a consistent flow of nutrients and type thing. I don't know about, it's kinda like juicing. Okay, so I don't really get that one either. I've tried it. You know, you just get diarrhea for a day. And I don't know, just I struggle with that one a little bit sometimes. I don't know, maybe it works for some people. You know, schedule plays a role in it too.
Yeah, I'm not a fast guy at all.
Not at all, huh?
No, not at all. The whole detoxify thing makes me want to puke. It's everything. I don't want to say everything is a trend but it just sometimes makes me feel like people just come up with shit either for attention or to seem like a genius. You know, the whole detoxifying thing, in my opinion, and, you know, other people can do it if that's what they want to do and if they think it works, and that's great. You have kidneys and liver to detoxify. And I understand that a lot of people use that, but I believe that strongly.
Yeah.
When it comes to fasting, unless it's a situation where you just eat like a hog and you eat a bunch of heavy shit, whether it be steak and stuff that's difficult to digest, that could potentially, you know, you don't eat a lot of vegetables and you don't eat very healthy. Yeah, I could see how you could end up with some stuff in your guts that maybe you need to move out. I don't know that fasting would do that anyway, but I know the only time I've ever really considered it is when I get up the next day from a skip load, and it hasn't really technically been a skip load. It's been a day of just cheating and eating like shit. Then I think to myself, you know, I probably still have food in my gut. It'd probably be a good idea if I didn't eat for the next 8 hours. But when it comes to growth and bodybuilding and progressing, I don't understand any of the arguments that say leaving out or not supplying your body with nutrients is in any way beneficial. I just don't understand it. So from a bodybuilding standpoint, even the intermittent fasting and everything else, I don't buy it. I think it's just another method to add to the already numerous methods out there to have something different. Can it work for the average Joe? Maybe it can. But show me someone who gets ready for a show and gets into retarded condition and uses intermittent fasting. And it's such a ridiculously small amount of people.
Yeah.
That you just wonder, are you just skating by and, you know, genetically? And is it 100% optimal? And I say, no, it's not. Providing your body, and I understand that some people see it as an antiquated method, and but eating small meals throughout the day supplies your body with a steady stream of nutrients. It's easier on your digestive system because it's not one lump, massive meal. I just, you know, hunger, everything. And that there's a reason that so many people use it. Go to any top prep guy. I think you're going to have a hard time finding a top prep guy who advocates for intermittent fasting. There'll be plenty who claim they're, you know, a top prep guy, or they're a prep guy and it works all the time, whatever. You know, it's just not something that I feel is optimal. And I think bodybuilders, you know, as a group, the large majority of us, very large majority, want to do the things that work the best. And I don't think that's anywhere close to being optimal.
Yeah.
Fair enough. The other part, too, is sometimes people use methods like that. People have used skip loading as a method only because they cannot stand to diet. For them to diet for 6 days is like asking too much, apparently. So they look at it as, oh, man, all I have to do is go 6 days. If that's why you're doing it, don't do it, because that's not what it was made or where the method came from. Hmm. The method came because it was more effective than not. Or, well, they're not using it, but as a refeed or a reboost or a reamp metabolically. So I think that sometimes these things happen. The other one, carb backloading, there's just, and I'm not saying that, you know, that's not effective for some people. I just think that sometimes we're reaching for new methods and we're trying to reinvent the wheel without anything of any real substance to back these things up.
I predict
just because something works doesn't mean that it's 100% effective or efficient. Just saying.
I predicted in my mind 3 minutes ago that skip loading was coming out somewhere in that.
I'm not going to let an opportunity like that.
Hashtag skip load.
Exactly. Hashtag DVD longevity video. Yeah. No shirt bike.
You're white trash. No shirt bike.
Yeah. White trash.
You see me rolling. Don't be hating.
I got a part of your video I was sent by somebody I watched.
What do you mean a part?
Well, I only watched the fun part, like dying on the couch.
I don't know if that was in the video, but.
Oh, I needed a good laugh for the day. It was like, I was rolling on the floor.
What was it?
With you and your legs in the air.
My legs in the air?
At Titan Gym.
I think my ass was in the air, not my legs.
I had one of those little beepers when you were about to expire.
Well, guys, we're about out of time here. Skip's got to run along. He's got stuff to do. I've got a train, so you know, we're a week out from I'm getting ahead of myself. Almost a week out from the Arnold now.
Oh yeah, that's coming up in March.
I'm gonna be there.
You're going to be there? What are you talking about? Are you really?
Well, not competing. I'm going to be over. I heard they got free donuts at the hotel, so I'm going to be there in the morning to make sure they're safe for everyone.
They're going to have donuts at Scott Stevenson Seminar, that's for sure.
I actually think I might be there.
You're kidding me.
I was approached about going.
You're kidding me.
No, serious.
Wow.
Is it a Scott Stevenson Seminar or a Scott and
John?
Yeah, John Meadows. Yeah,
yeah, they've got.
This is me sampling donuts. It really is. No, it has nothing. It's not either Scott or John or anybody. It's somebody. It's through something else.
I've got a client who asked me to train at the compound.
Yeah.
And I said, any weekend except Arnold weekend.
Yeah, I did. I did preface it with this. There is no training involved in this visit, is there? Because we won't have any of that. I think I might be there. Are you guys going to be there?
You're for real going to possibly be there?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going
to. Are you going down, Scott?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be there. I'll be heading out Wednesday night, and I won't be coming home till Sunday.
Nope, I will be in Colorado cleaning up the house and getting everything packed.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, not really, but probably better than being at the Arnold. And not a shot at you guys or anybody going, I've done it too long, and I've been to too many shows, and I just honestly, there are 30 things on my list that I would rather be doing than to be at a show of that size. One of those things might be gouging my eyes out with a sport.
You don't know what you're missing. That's all I'm going to
say.
You
know, it's funny because if I would go,
you would have so much fun.
I'm the older I get, the more cynical I get. And the only thing I can think of is, oh my God, it's going to be a shitbag fest. Just tons of douchebag. When I should be looking at it going, there's a lot of cool people that I could meet up with that I have not met face to face.
Yeah.
And it probably would be a lot of fun. The douchebags aren't going to run me down. I do often wonder what it would be like to work the Elite FTS booth at a show and let all the people who troll me have the opportunity to come up and say something. But I would guarantee you, not because, you know, Skip's a badass and is so physically intimidating and intellectually superior, though those things are still true. But no one, trolls don't do that. And
well, I'm going low vis, Skip. I'm not going to be going to the expo and bumping into people with their little bags. And it's going to be very low vis.
So for real, if you're going to make it, Scott, get a hold of me because I'll be there that whole time. I'm going to do the seminar on Thursday with Scott Stevenson and John Meadows. It's going to be an all day thing. I just talked to Scott this morning. I guess a couple people had backed out that aren't going to be able to make it. So there are a couple tickets available. Other than that, it's just about sold out. So if you guys are interested, head over to, you can go to fortitudetraining.net, drscottstevenson.com. You can purchase some tickets there. It's going to be worthwhile. John's going to have some sort of like fancy donuts in the morning, I guess. And nice. Then there's going to be some sort of a lunch. So an executive
I would say
lunch.
It would be a hell of a seminar. That I will say. If anybody wants a ton of information, I mean, those two guys, it's well worth the money. Personally, I'd rather just hang out with them and shoot the shit. And
right.
Talk about it, which I have to get with Scott Stevenson because he's only about 3 hours from me anyway. And he lives in Tampa and so does my sister-in-law. Nice. So hopefully I get the opportunity to do that. But he's traveling a lot right now. He's a pretty busy guy. So hopefully we can meet up.
He's got a lot going on, but you know what? He always talks highly of you, Skip. I'm sure that when he gets time, man, it would be cool. If we could see some sort of Scott Stevenson Skip Hill training video. That's what I gotta say.
That'd be cool. He'd bury me. He trains like a fucking animal.
He's nuts, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's crazy, and he just comes up with the wildest shit. I'd be standing there seriously, like going, can't we just do dumbbell presses? Like, what the fuck? Can't you do them like normal person?
All right, guys. Well, let's hit it. Skip's got to go. We'll be back in another week or so, guys. I hope you appreciated another episode of Blood, Sweat, and Gear. Hang out with S2H over at AdvancedTrainingTech.com. And, of course, go to TeamSkip.com. All right, guys. We will see you soon.
Late.
Cut this shit. Man, what you gonna do now?
What we gonna do right here is go back.
How far you going back?
Way back.
As we go a little something like this. Hit it.
Here's a little gangster short in size. A t-shirt Levi's is his only disguise. Built like a tank, yet hard to hit. Ice Cube and Eazy-E cold running shit.
Well, I'm Eazy-E, the one they're talking about. Niggas tried to roll a dice and just crapped out. Police tried to roll, so it's time to go. I creaked away real slow and jumped in the 6-4 with the
diamond in the back.
Digging the scene with the gangster lean, cause I'm the
Advices Radio.